You're listening to The Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Join the conversation live. Our phone lines are open, 732-545-9282. That's 732-545-WCTC.
Good morning, Central Jersey, and welcome to The Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballister Hollis, and today I am here with... Hey, Jared. I hope you guys didn't miss me too much last week. I did take a week off and had a grand time, went up to Newport, Rhode Island, and saw some mansions and met my niece, who's only a few years younger than me, and her husband, and we went to see two of the mansions, and then we went on Cliff Walk, which is really a cliff, along the water, and a little scary, but quite beautiful. And what else? We went out to lunch at a place called Castle on the Hill, and again, a beautiful view, a lot of rocks that you could see over the water, and all in all, it was a lovely getaway. Unfortunately, traffic was unbelievable going in both directions, which was, so instead of it being like a four-hour trip, it was a seven-hour trip. So that was kind of a bummer, but we had a great time. So I hope you didn't miss me too much. I did think about you guys, and here I am back. But before I went away, I did a tremendous amount of work trying to get all the plants into the greenhouse from both the Ocean Grove house and Tiny Farm, so that in case there was a frost while we were gone, and I don't think there was, but there was certainly one last night, to make sure everything was safe, which meant a complete overhaul of the greenhouse. It's not like I need to do that every year, but it had been, we had done a lot of work in the greenhouse, and some things needed to be purged, and just trying to get all those big plants in there, we really needed to consolidate and clean up, and I wanted everything to look really tidy. I wanted the tabletops, the stainless steel tabletops, all cleaned, because once everything's in there, you can barely move. So I wanted it to look really good, I needed to make sure it was all done before we moved everything in. So huge project. We did a lot of dividing of things and putting them in smaller pots. I had a cast iron plant, an aspidistra, that was just quite enormous, and the only way to get it out of the pot was to break the pot. We tried. Jordan was helping me. My little friend Jordan, who's delightful, she was helping me, and we couldn't get it out. I mean, we tried everything you could imagine, you know, trimming around the edges, but the plant had a certain curve to it. So trying to put a blade down there, you couldn't really get the blade in. We couldn't get it out. So finally, we just gave up. And it was a really nice pot, too. I felt so bad. But so then we got out of the pot this big aspidistra, cast iron plant, which they're really very tough. And I had moved it recently. I'd realized that it was getting too much sun, and in the summertime it was getting too much sun. It was getting bleached. Some of the leaves were getting bleached. So I had moved it to a shadier part, and now I had pulled it out, and I was going to try to move it back into the sunnier part because, you know, the days are shorter and the sun's not as strong, but I really didn't have room. I had all these sun-loving plants that needed to go in the sunniest spot, so it ended up going back in the shadier part, but in order to divide it, I needed to get my reciprocating saw out and quarter it, just sawed it into four pieces. That was the only way I could get it to be divided. It was just so, so, so root-bound and heavy and thick, and it was quite a challenge. So, obviously, the pot that I shattered was gone, so I found another nice pot, a little smaller, and put one of the quarters in that one. And then I just used lesser pots for the other three. So there, gave one away already, but I really don't have room for all these. I want to keep the one. So now they are on the steps going down to the basement in the greenhouse or in the back part of the greenhouse, that's like the sitting area and the work area. So they're there. But a huge job trying to get all this stuff cleaned up and moved. We have a mandevilla vine that lives at the beach house in the summertime and grows up a trellis and is really beautiful and works really well in the spot. But trying to get it off the trellis so we could move it into the greenhouse was another challenge. You can only unwrap and untwirl and unwind so much. We ended up having to cut it, and it did have some mealybugs, so we ended up cutting off a lot of that as well. It was, again, another big job, but we moved the geraniums in. We moved the purple Tradescantia in. I call it Setcriasa, but some debate about that, about the genus name of that. But the purple one, it's all purple. And it's easy enough to propagate. You just take the cuttings and stick them in the ground. Well, that one, I cut that way, way, way back. And the pot it was in, it weighed a ton. It was just in a plastic pot. But it was getting watered on the drip irrigation system. And the drip irrigation system waters it for 20 minutes, I think, twice a day. And it wasn't in the sunniest spot, so for some reason, it weighed a ton. The geraniums, which were bigger plants in bigger pots, weighed less, maybe because they were in the sun and the water dried up. Anyway, it was another challenge. We decided we couldn't hang it. It was too heavy. So a lot of work and a lot of moving, and let's see what else. We brought in the passion vine, which looks really good, and the orange tree that makes little, very small oranges, and the lemon tree, which makes real lemons. And I had pruned both of them back very hard in the spring, and now they are lush, but they are more compact, which is great because they were taking up too much room. So that's all moved in. And the Brugmansia, which gets those peach colored trumpet shaped flowers, I cut that way back, but moved that in. So we did a lot and cleaned everything and repotted and washed all the saucers and washed all the tables and were able to move in the two giant hibiscus, the four hanging geraniums, the purple plant, the purple Tradescantia, the lemon tree, the orange tree, the Tibochina, which is looking good, still flowering. The Tibochina, we moved that in. A bunch of calla lilies in pots, a bunch of amaryllis, which we divided because there were multiple bulbs in one pot. We divided them so much, but we got it all done before we went away, which was just wonderful. And everything is looking good so far. I haven't lost anything, any of the things that we propagated. A lot of the succulents had gotten kind of long and leggy, so we pruned them back and tried to reroot the tips of the long dangly branches. So we did a lot of that as well. But greenhouse is looking really, really lush and healthy and green and full, and it's good. But it was a gigantic project, and I really had to get it all done before we went away. So anybody have any experiences they would like to share with what they were doing in the greenhouse, so, or in their yard with all their plants, bringing them in? I know Anne Marie brought in a ton of stuff. So the number here is 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. And we do have four open lines, so if you give us a call, we'll be able to get you on the air right away. And I want to remind everybody that Barty Farms still offers your family the best of everything. It's a great little place to go visit. Farm fresh fruits and vegetables, fresh baked pies and breads, international cheeses, gourmet and organic food items, and Jersey dairy milk. Barty Farms, 118 years old and still growing. So, other things that are going on. My camellias are behaving very interestingly. The pink one is, which is in Osha Grove, there's a pink one that blooms September, October. And that one was really pretty. It got lovely pink flowers on it. It's finishing up. There's still some blooms, but it's developing seed pods that look like rose hips, only bigger. Now, of course, they're in the same family, so the Rosaceae family. So that they get similar type fruits is not surprising, but I've never seen them do that before. And they're about the size of, well, they're not as big as a golf ball, a little smaller than that, but bigger than your average cherry tomato, so good size and hard and green. Maybe they're going to turn red like rose hips. I don't know. I haven't seen them, but I've never seen them develop seed pods before. Not like that, which is kind of interesting. At the same time, the red camellia that is also in the, at the Ocean Grove house is covered in buds, just covered, and has one flower open. Now, last year, it was magnificent, absolutely magnificent. But one never knows. With the frost we had last night, it may not have been frosted down at the beach house because it's always a smidgen warmer down there. And maybe the buds were tight enough that they were protected. We'll see what it does. It takes a mild fall for them to be in all their glory. So we'll just have to see what it does. But it's covered in buds. So that's, I'm anticipating a fabulous plant. So we'll see how that goes. Did a lot of work in Ocean Grove this week. Again, you know, moving everything in. I have a whole flock of flamingos. So, you know the pink flamingos, Jared? Well, I have a whole bunch of them in the alleyway, guiding people's way to the outside shower. And I take them all in, and I take their little wire legs off, and I put all the pink flamingos in the dishwasher. I can get 10 flamingos in the dishwasher at one time. And I ran them through the dishwasher, and they kind of get a little bit full of water, so I let them drain and dry overnight and then pack them up in a big plastic bag. But I got those all away, so, you know, trying to get the place ready for winter. Raked leaves, so many leaves. You know, it's more work to do the leaves in Ocean Grove on this very tiny piece of property than it is, because I don't, when they land on the grass, I don't care. You know, they just, so raked and raked and raked and put them in cans, and they're just so many leaves. So I did a lot of that. I wish that there was room to, I always thought that if a property was big enough to generate leaves, then it was big enough to compost them, until I bought a house in Ocean Grove. There is no place in on the property to have a compost pile, and lugging them back to the farm just is not practical. So we put them for the town to pick up. But every time I go, it needs to be done over again, because the leaves just keep coming down. And there are a number of large trees, particularly an oak tree. And so we did a lot of raking and cleaning. And I also pruned back a lot of the ivy that needed to be done because it was creeping out onto the sidewalk. So this is all fall cleanup, getting ready for the winter weather. All right, let me give the number again, 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. We have four open lines, so we're going to take a little break, but if you give us a call, we'll get you on the air as soon as we get back from this.
Here's your updated weather forecast for the overnight hours. Our skies will be mostly clear. Temperatures overnight generally back down to a range of 30 to 35, so a patchy frost is possible right around daybreak. And daytime, we'll look for a frosty start, but then mostly sunny. Highs for the day will range between 60 and 65. At night, increasing clouds, 46. Tomorrow on Monday, look for a mostly cloudy day. Might be some daylight showers, but most of it will hold off until Halloween evening. And probability of rainfall goes up to about 50% by later in the day. High 64, those at night 54. Still a chance of showers Tuesday, 67. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for Fox Sports, New Jersey.
It was long ago, back in 1904, that the Vardy family planted their first crops in the rich, fertile soil atop the Watchung Mountains in the little town of Warren. And with each passing year, families near and far shared in the bountiful harvest at Vardy Farms. Today, Vardy Farms still offers your family the best of everything. Tomatoes, jumbo cauliflower, farm-fresh fruits and vegetables, fresh baked pies and breads, delicious Dewey Meadow chicken pot pies, apple cider, cider donuts, and What's the Scoop ice cream in all of your favorite flavors. Plus, Vardy Farms Garden Center has Hardy Vardy mums in all the fall colors. Flowering kale, pumpkins, scarecrows, Indian corn, hay bales, and all of your autumn decorating needs. Barbies is now taking orders for holiday pie. So load up the kids and come on down to the farm this weekend. Barbie Farms is on Washington Valley Road in Warren and on that new fangled internet at BarbieFarms.com. Or follow them on Twitter at Barbie Farms. Barbie Farms, over 100 years old and still growing.
Davis Agency, located at 865 Mountain Avenue in Mountainside, New Jersey, is the place to go for all your business commercial lines of insurance. If you're a current client, you already know you have the best working for you. But if you're in the market and want someone who is there looking out for your business needs and that of your employees, then make sure you call Davis Agency. They will tailor a plan to meet the needs of your company, making sure you have what you need for peace of mind. Call them at 908-233-8040. Or for more information, ardavisagency.com. For a price you will love and the service you deserve.
Fox Sports Radio New Jersey understands that while watching your favorite team and listening to the commentary is important, nothing beats curling up with a good book on a cold day. Luckily for you, you don't have to go to the library. Just head on over to FoxSportsRadioNewJersey.com for your chance to snag yourself a copy of Belichick and Brady by Michael Hawley while they're still available. Expand your mind and read with FoxSportsRadioNewJersey.com.
Meet the faces of influenza, groups who should be immunized against influenza every year.
He's in the group 6 months to 5 years old.
I'm 4.5 years old.
Pregnant during influenza season.
We live with a baby under 6 months old.
I live with someone at risk.
Live with someone at risk.
Care for someone at risk.
I have a chronic medical condition.
Diabetes.
Asthma.
I have COPD, a serious lung disease.
I'm 50.
I'm over 50 years old.
Way over 50.
The American Lung Association asks, do you see your family or yourself here? I'm Jennifer Garner. As one of the many faces of influenza, you and I and those close to us need to get vaccinated. Each year, about 36,000 Americans die from influenza and its complications. So see your healthcare provider about getting an influenza immunization. Vaccination is a safe and effective way to prevent influenza. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. A public service message from the American Lung Association and this station.
You're listening to The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Join the conversation live. Our phone lines are open, 732-545-9282. That's 732-545-WCTC.
Welcome back to Central Jersey. We're going to go to the phones, right?
That's a good idea.
Okay. Good morning, Anne-Marie. How are you?
Okay. Welcome back.
Thank you. I had a really good time.
I heard you. It sounded great.
Yeah, it was fun.
Good. And the weather was good.
One day the weather was great. The second day the weather was rainy. But the day that we went to the mansions and cliff walk was perfect. I have to tell you something that I saw, though, that was so weird.
What was weird?
Well, there's, you know, all kinds of interesting gardens and trees, and a lot of the trees are really mature and magnificent, and all of that was very interesting. But the thing that I saw from a horticultural point of view that was so weird was at the first house we went to, which was called Rose Cliff. And that's the one, it was featured in the Great Gatsby movie. It was also in a movie called 27 Dresses, which I've never seen. But in any event, it's this magnificent house and was famous for all the balls that it used to have. But outside, there were all these hedges, except they weren't really hedges anymore. They were treated like a wall, like a real wall. And they were privet hedges, and they were maybe 3 feet high and 8 inches wide. So that it was pruned, sheared so tight that it looked like a green wall. I've never seen it done like that before. And of course, when you shear bushes like that all the time, they get very woody and not a lot of green. So I imagine they would after 20 years or so, they would have to be dug out and replaced because there would be nothing left of them. But they went all around the property, this skinny little green wall. I mean, if it was 8 inches wide, that was a lot. Isn't that weird?
Well, it is weird, but that's living fence.
It was a living fence. That's exactly what it was. It was a living fence. So it was kind of cool, except that I know that it can't live forever like that because you just can't shear it that skinny. But the trunks, you could tell it was old because the trunks at the base were big. So anyway, it was kind of cool. Different, but cool. So how are you? What's going on in your garden?
Well, we didn't get frost last night, so that was good. I don't know why you got it, but you did. I dragged almost everything in. I have Streptocarpella for China and all of Eastern Asia and most of the Northeast and every place else. I can't possibly live with all these plants.
Well, that's good because I had to throw mine away.
All of them?
Well, I took a bunch of cuttings and I'm trying to root them, but both plants, well, one I threw away a while ago.
Right.
Because it had, you know, was covered with mealies. And this one, when I brought it in, had mealies intensely on one side. The other side was okay. So I took all the cuttings from the good side, washed them all anyway, just to be on the safe side, and put them in water. But I didn't want to try to save it because once.
Why did you waste your time when you were so busy? You knew I had lots up here. I can share.
I do appreciate that, but, you know, I
know. We don't know how to let a plant go.
It's true.
All the way dead unless it turns brown.
So we'll see. But I did take a whole bunch of cuttings. And I have one plant in the greenhouse that's in good shape. That's smaller. It's not a hanging basket, but I do have one other plant. So
the ones that I had hanging out on the back deck, which were under semi-shaded because of the gazebo top, when I cut them all back, not one of them rooted. Not one. I must have had 40 cuttings. They just died. It was the weirdest thing. You lose one or two, but it was so weird. But I have plenty, so I can share.
Well, we'll see how it progresses. The greenhouse is packed. It is packed.
It sounds that way.
Yeah,
pink bubblegum geranium needs a space.
There's a little space left. there's a little space left in two spots.
It's in transit. The reports from Milltown are that the passion plant came in and bloomed inside. That was very exciting. Bart sent
yes.
you a picture.
Yes, he did.
The Mexican petunia rooted and is now in dirt. Danny's begonia is also, well, the one is bizarre large, and the other ones, the other variety she gave me rooted, so now I got one more plant if I didn't have enough. And then I have a question. Is it a Montauk daisy that gets kind of woody stems and just keeps getting bigger and bigger every year?
Yes, it could be. I mean, it's blooming now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a Montauk.
So what's the story on pruning that? Anything?
Yeah, you can prune them pretty hard in the spring.
Oh, okay, because it's not my plant, but it is all over somebody's sidewalk, and they're, like, freaking out.
No, you can prune them hard in the spring.
Okay.
The thing is, though, you might want to try pruning it very soon and sticking some of the cuttings into the ground somewhere. So that's
really?
Yeah.
But outside?
Yeah.
Not in, don't have to bring it in?
Yeah, no. No, the first one that I had was a gift from Warner Thurlow. You remember him, right?
Sure.
Well, he was my mentor and my friend. And he showed up in the office one day when we were working together, which we're talking back in the 80s here. And he had a whole newspaper bundle full of prunings from a Montauk daisy. And he said, here, stick them in the ground. So I did. I took them to my house and I stuck them in the ground. And in the spring, about half of them had rooted.
Really? Because I can see on the plant, if you wanted to cut a bouquet, you know, the lower stem is woody and dry, but there's green nubs starting to come out on it. And I was like, wonder if you cut this back, it just generates a whole new
generation. It does.
Generation.
Except, here's the thing. At the very bottom, where the nubs are coming out, it gets very woody and tends to snap, like as the new branches grow. And when they get heavy, it'll snap at the base.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
And how far up from the base root are you talking? I mean, this plant is maybe 10 feet in circumference at this at points.
Wow, that's big.
Huge. It's huge.
Well, here's the thing is, you know, I like the idea of sticking a few of the cuttings in the ground to make a new fresh plant. And that way, if the other ones, you know, don't make it, because I've come out and seen it where after, a summer storm where the plant has gone splat and is flat and broken at the base because it's so woody and not flexible and the weight of the water on the branches causes them to just splay out. You know how peonies can do that?
Yes, okay.
It's sort of like that, but because they're woody, they break. So
yeah, okay. All right. Well, I didn't know anything. I've never had one survive because my friendly deer community comes and eats it.
Oh, sorry.
So I've never gotten flower one, let alone, you know, it'll come back and then it's done.
But that's what I would do. If she's worried about cutting it back, you can cut it back pretty hard. Again, you might want to cut it back somewhat now because the weight of the branches with the weight of the snow, if you don't cut it back,
exactly,
it'll break over the winter. But then you may want to cut it back even more in the spring.
Okay.
But I would take some cuttings now and stick them in the ground someplace.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay.
And another thing, my hellebore rose, does that ever shed all its leaves and just go underground?
The hellebores?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, I went out one, this is weeks ago, I forgot to mention it to you when we spoke. All the leaves were just like laying on the ground, dead. And it's in a place where there were annuals, so it wasn't drought, it wasn't without water all summer. And it's just like, I think there's one leaf left on it.
That doesn't sound good.
No, they going to need a new one come the season for planting hellebores.
Well, I was with Jordan working on the Ocean Grove house, trying to get everything all cleaned up and raking all the leaves. And we were staring at the hellebore saying, wow, that looks really magnificent.
Oh, don't even. Sorry. And can you split them?
Probably.
Well, I don't know, because my daughter's is, you know, four times as large as it was in 3 years. You know, it's really happy where it is, and it basically gets pretty much the same sun I get. So, you know, because she said to me, this is getting so big, should I split it? I said, I have no idea. I'll ask the master gardener.
I would think that you can, but let me check to be sure. I've never had I will find out for sure. Pretty much you can divide a lot of things, so I would think that that's one that you could divide if it's really spread, but let me double check. I've never had to do that myself, but it should be looking really lush. It's considered an evergreen now.
Well, that's what I thought. I was like, why did you die? You know, I mean, it's there that the holly bush that gets, you know, berries, and that's a male and female bush. That's happy as a clam. That's doing its thing.
Well, we will
find. In that same plot, you know, so it.
Right.
Well, we will. Watered.
We will find out for sure. But I would say, you know, your best bet is. I'm thinking if you're going to divide it, you might need to divide it now. It's going to bloom over the winter. I don't know. And it blooms right, you know, from anywhere from December through March or April. So I don't think you should be dividing it in the spring.
But what does its root look like? Do we know?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
No, because, I mean, I bought it and I planted it in the dirt it was in a bigger hole, you know, compost as a whole bit. Okay, I just have one more thing. I have an azalea in a pot. Can that get planted or is it too late?
No, if it's in a pot, you can stick it in the ground.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't necessarily recommend transplanting, although I just transplanted something yesterday.
Okay.
Actually, I didn't transplant it. I stand corrected. I decided to sacrifice it, that I didn't want it. So, yeah, you can, but I did plant. All right, let me tell you. I have a dappled willow in the back that I liked, but it turned out to be not the one I really wanted. I really wanted a tricolor one that has pink in it, and I grabbed this one, and I thought it was a tricolor, and it turned out to not be. So I put it in the ground up against the fence between some of the other things that were growing out there that were taller. This is more shrub-like. And it got really big and really healthy and really beautiful, but it grew into where the female kiwi vine is, and the two got all tangled. And so I decided that it needed to go, that it wasn't a good spot for it, that it was too close to the kiwi, and I was going to move it. And where one of the junipers, those expensive junipers, died, I was going to move it over there. And so that was the plan. And then I came across a DeGroote's arborvitae, and that's what it's called, DeGroote, DeGroote. And I was very excited because, well, arborvitaes are not necessarily the most exciting plant. Those big trees like that Uncle Art wanted me to plant, that I planted, the green giant, they grow very quickly. And they're pretty adaptable, and they are more tolerant of lower light than a lot of other evergreens. I think that they're kind of boring, but I didn't plant them in a straight row. I planted them in clusters. But then this, I have since found two other arborvitae that looked nothing like them, that were dwarf. One was weeping, one was dwarf, really small, weird-shaped one. So I've become very interested in different kinds of arborvitae. And I came across at one of the big box stores this DeGroote's arborvitae, which I've been interested in. It only maxes out at 4 feet wide, and it can get 20 feet tall. So I grabbed one. It was half price, so I grabbed it and I brought it home. So instead of this dappled willow, I put in the DeGroote's arborvitae, so it'll not spread and not conflict with the kiwi. Okay, so that's happened. And I was going to transplant the dappled willow into the other spot because there's more room there. And it was huge, and I cut it back, and I got it small enough so that Tommy could dig it out for me, and I just said, you know what? This is not the one I wanted. Do I really want to go through all this work to transplant a plant which is not the one I wanted? So I called Mel at Madden's Nursery, my good buddy, and I called her, and I said, do you have a tricolor dappled willow? I could pick it up tomorrow. And she told me that not only does she have them, but she has a tree form, which I have never seen. So I looked up the tree form, and Emery, it is the coolest looking plant. A tree form has a straight trunk, and then it has the leafy part on the top. This thing looks like a giant dandelion puffball.
That's and nice. How tall will that get?
Well, looking at all the pictures, it'll maybe get 8 feet tall. You know, so it'll have the trunk, and then it'll have all these branches that are all tipped in pink, and really full and lush and very spherical. And it is just the coolest looking thing. So guess what I'm getting today?
I can't imagine.
So
tree from Mel?
Yes, yes. I'm going down and I'm getting a tree form, tricolor, dappled willow. And my fence is 6 feet tall, so it'll go a little higher than the fence, but it'll fill in the space nicely, and it's something I've never seen before. So I am so excited to be getting this. I'm so excited.
Okay, we would never guess that this was exciting you.
So I gave up on transplanting the one that I had, and it was much easier to just be able to rip it out and get rid of it. I felt a little bad because it was a really pretty plant, but
you should have stuck it in the woods.
But I just, now it needs too much sun. It would never do anything in the woods. So it all worked out, and I'm going to go get this. And I have been thinking, though, that maybe I should take some of the cuttings from it and try rooting them just for the fun of it, because willow roots really easily. But anyway.
Well, that's true. So that might be fun.
So
little science project for the winter.
So that's what we're doing today. And really very, very excited about it. I looked it up online. I couldn't believe it. It's the coolest looking thing. You should look it up. It just looks, like I said, like a gigantic dandelion puffball. So,
speaking of dandelions, the neighbor next door must have 50 puffballs on his lawn.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't see them bloom. That's what made me, I'm like, it's almost like a Halloween decoration over there, because I didn't see them yellow. So they had to be, I mean, he needed to cut his grass, I guess. So maybe the flowers were way down in the plant, and then the stem shot up and made a puffball. I don't know, but I wasn't thrilled to see them.
And my lawn is shot.
So, oh, I heard.
Now, Arthur's lawn did not grow, so he's had his conversations with the seed, not only the store he bought the seed in, but the company that made the seed, so he's sad.
Oh, I'm sorry, Uncle Art. I'm sorry.
So, I don't know. Maybe we'll just pave it and paint it green.
Well, that is an option, I suppose. That is an option.
It'll be easier to get the leaves off it in the fall, that's for sure.
Well, that's true. That is definitely true.
That is true. Okay, well, we're glad you're back. We're glad you're so excited about getting a new tree. I'm so happy that Tommy wants to be digging out trees and digging trees in 2 days in a row. And we'll talk to you.
Okay, sounds like a plan. Thanks for
calling.
Okay,
be good.
All right, bye-bye. All right, do we need to take a break? All right, so let me give the phone number. It's 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. We have four open lines, so if you give us a call, we'll get you on the air as soon as we get back from this.
Here's your updated weather forecast for the overnight hours. Our skies will be mostly clear. Temperatures overnight, generally back down to a range of 30 to 35, so a patchy frost is possible right around daybreak. And daytime, we'll look for a frosty start, but then mostly sunny. Highs for the day will range between 60 and 65. At night, increasing clouds, 46. Tomorrow on Monday, look for a mostly cloudy day. Might be some daylight showers, but most of it will hold off until Halloween evening. And probability of rainfall goes up to about 50% by later in the day. High 64, those at night 54. Still a chance of showers Tuesday, 67. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for Fox Sports, New Jersey.
Garden Show listeners, can we count on you to reduce food waste? It's a huge problem in our society, but each person can make a difference. Have you ever wondered if food you have at home is still okay to eat if the date is passed? Here's what you should know. Best by, use by, and sell by labels are indicators of food quality, not food safety. What do those labels mean exactly? Here are the USDA's definitions. Best by, when a food product will have the best flavor or quality. Sell by, how long a store should display the product. Freeze by, when a product should be frozen to maintain the best quality. Now that you know the facts, even if one or more of those dates have passed, examine and smell an item to see if it's still able to be used. If it is, enjoy it. Learn more about reducing food waste on MiddlesexCountyNJ.gov/GetFoodSmart. This is another Health Minute brought to you by St. Peter's Healthcare System.
Medical emergencies are a part of life, and they don't stop during the COVID-19 pandemic. So it's good to know that St. Peter's University Hospital has separate treatment areas and stringent safety protocols in place to safely care for patients in their adult emergency department. St. Peter's Adult Emergency Department is staffed with trained emergency medicine physicians and nurses, all backed by leading-edge technology and state-of-the-art facilities. From stroke care to minor injuries, asthma attacks, fractures, and more, they're treating patients safely. And if you're experiencing any COVID-19 symptom, they'll get you screened and tested with faster turnaround times. Quoting Dr. Borislav Stoev, Chair of Emergency Medicine at St. Peter's, in an emergency, St. Peter's knows that every second counts because the sooner a patient is treated, the better. To learn more about the emergency department at St. Peter's, visit stpetershcs.com/emergency.
Fox Sports Radio New Jersey is looking to expand its staff of sales and marketing professionals. As part of Beasley Media Group, Fox Sports Radio, the flagship station for Rutgers football, basketball, and New York Yankees AA affiliate, the Somerset Patriots, provides a wide variety of marketing services to local, on-air, events, streaming audio, and state-of-the-art digital solutions. Qualified candidates will have a history of success in outside sales, possess excellent verbal and written communication skills, be adept at reaching decision makers, live in Central Jersey, and enjoy the entire sales process, from prospecting through closing. Fox Sports Radio New Jersey, featuring Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd, and Doug Gottlieb, is looking for both promising rookies and high-performing veterans. If you or someone you know is looking for an exciting, fast-paced career where the better you are, the more money you can make, send your resume to edwin.silver@bbgi.com. Beasley Media Group is an equal opportunity employer.
It was long ago, back in 1904, that the Vardy family planted their first crops in the rich, fertile soil atop the Watchung Mountains in the little town of Warren. And with each passing year, families near and far shared in the bountiful harvest at Vardy Farms. Today, Vardy Farms still offers your family the best of everything. Tomatoes, jumbo cauliflower, farm-fresh fruits and vegetables, fresh baked pies and breads, delicious Dewey Meadow chicken pot pies, apple cider, cider donuts, and what's the scoop ice cream in all of your favorite flavors. Plus, Vardy Farms Garden Center has hearty Vardy mums in all the fall colors. Flowering kale, pumpkin, scarecrows, Indian corn, hay bales, and all of your autumn decorating needs. And Vardy's is now taking orders for holiday pies. So load up the kids and come on down to the farm this weekend. Vardy Farms is on Washington Valley Road in Warren and on that newfangled internet at VardyFarms.com. Or follow them on Twitter at Vardy Farms. Vardy Farms, over 100 years old and still growing.
The new Talk Radio 1450 WCTC, the voice of Central Jersey. The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells.
Welcome back to The Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester Howells. Anne-Marie, you should call back because I found out everything you need to know about dividing and transplanting hellebores. So, we have a very narrow window. What's today's date, Jared?
Today is the 30th.
So tomorrow is the 31st. That's the last day of October. The recommended time to transplant it and divide hellebores is September and October. So the second best time is in the spring after they finish blooming and have set seed. There's pros and cons to both, of course. So is that Anne-Marie, Jared? So I'm hoping to be able to pick her up and give her all the details. Is that her? Okay. So what you want to do is dig them out now and very gently remove the soil from the roots that you dig out. Now, the root system is a rhizome, so it tends to be a little bit hairy and with a lot of small roots, and then the leaves coming out, and it grows, kind of spreads outward, kind of like a tangled rope a little bit. So what you want to do is dig it out intact. Hey, Anne-Marie, you back?
I am.
Okay.
I'm listening to you on the radio.
Okay, so you got to dig this out and carefully now and kind of try to get the roots as clean and exposed as possible without damaging them.
Okay.
And then when you divide it, what is very important to kind of be able to see as much of the root system as possible and as much as the rhizomes as possible. And then you want to use a sharp blade or sharp pruners, and you want to cut it into sections. But each section needs to have a piece of rhizome, a leaf, and some hair roots. So you can decide by looking at it whether you can get, you know, just divide it in half to have bigger plants, or if there's enough of a root system there that you could divide it into smaller pieces and spread it out. But it's definitely dividable, and now is the time to do it. So, but we are running out of time because it did say early fall, so September or October. So what are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, it's the 100th anniversary celebration at our parish. You knew that.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. Okay, so...
It's later this afternoon or tomorrow morning, I guess,
so
rain.
That's when you need to do it. Now, the second thing is if you think that, you know, you're really too jammed up and can't do it in the next couple of days, you can wait until the spring, until after it finishes.
Okay.
And, you know, over the winter, the leaves get weird.
They do.
But at least you can always find the plant, which is important.
Right.
Okay. So you can find the plant in the spring, You can divide it at that time, but it might be, the plants are going to be very tender, and the concern in all of the literature that I came across was that if you get a late frost in the spring, it might not be good for the plant in the spring.
Okay, remembering this is not my plant I'm working on. It's my daughter, so I may have to store this information for next September, but I will go over and check it out.
Or you can, you know, do it in the spring after it's done with all its blooming, and that might, I think it's a viable option because at that point it looks really ugly anyway. You know, the flowers are great, but the leaves look really messy. Mm-hmm. So you could prune it back and dig it out and do all that in one shot at that time. So if you think that maybe you can't get to it now or she can't get to it now, that is another option. But if it's in the way now, if it's really, you know, hanging over the
side. No, it's fine. It's beautiful where it is. She just asked if it was dividable. I think she thought she would divide it and just like a, you come out her front door and then there's a sidewalk to her driveway, she would have two of them instead of having one.
Oh, well, so, yeah, she could do that now, or she could wait till spring.
You know, so at that point, it would be easier because you would just cut the plant in half.
Yeah, I think she could definitely do that.
Okay, I might just buy myself a new one in the spring.
Okay, sounds like that's a good plan.
Thank you, that's great information, good to know. So then does it form, you know, the way, I don't know what, peonies, you know, like got the mother root and then you got another root. It's not like cutting a sweet potato, or is it like cutting a sweet potato? Is it all one root?
No, it's, well, sweet potatoes are a little more tuberous than a rhizome. It's more like, you know, some of those rhizome-type begonias. It's more like that.
Okay. Yeah, I would hate to disturb hers. Number one, it was a gift to me on her engagement, so I can't ruin this. You know, she loves this plant. It's got its place of honor in her front yard.
Well, I think she's got options. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for checking that out and
sure.
Getting back to me.
No problem. Bye-bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Now we're going to go to North Brunswick and say good morning to Lee. How you doing, Lee?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. What can I do for you?
I just wanted to make a note of the fact about lawns. I know you talked about doing them in the fall and not in the spring.
Yes. Very important.
I can attest to that. I had my lawn totally redone because it just got diseased and was terrible, and had it totally done and seeded, and it's a beautiful carpet.
Great. So that'll make you happy.
Yes, it does. But it, like I say, don't do it in the spring. It's not going to work.
I know a lot of people think that it makes sense. You know, spring is rebirth and new life and all of that. But because we grow something that's called cool season grasses, they give up the ghost as soon as the weather gets hot. If they don't have an established root system. So doing it in the fall, I'm glad you listened. I'm glad that it worked out for you. And, you know, when something is really fresh and green and beautiful, I can just go out and stare at it for a bit. And it's sort of very zen-like. I did last summer, at the end of the summer, I planted grass seed in the place where we moved the chicken coop.
Mm-hmm.
The chicken coop, we have two chicken coops, a big one and a small one, and we have that because the roosters were fighting, so I had to separate them. So, but my husband put the small chicken coop in a place that I didn't want it, and it was there for maybe 2 years, and then I finally got him to move it because I didn't want it right next to the porch, because the mm-hmm. porch is a place to sit, and you don't necessarily want to have a chicken coop right blocking your view. So we moved it. But it had been there for 2 years, and the amount of chicken poop that was underneath it was significant. Now, chicken mm-hmm. poop is good stuff. So, and I'm not a lawn person at all. I mean, I don't care. I just, you know, we just mow everything else. But when we put the grass seed down where that chicken coop had been, and it came up, just like you said, a green carpet, it was mm-hmm. gorgeous. I would just sit on the porch and look at it. And it was, I mean, it's, you know, and compared to the rest of the yard, it shames the rest of the yard, but I don't really care. But it is still very nice to look at this area that looks perfect. It looks perfect. So, all right. Well, I'm glad that worked out for you. Yes?
Speaking of chickens, do they stay out all winter?
Well, you know, out is a yes.
Well, in a chicken coop with no heat.
In a chicken coop with no heat, but they have an inside part and an outside part. And, of course, I do let them out of the outside part on occasion when I can. There has to be certain parameters. The dogs have to be able to be outside to keep the fox away. And I have to be home. And I have to be home as soon as it gets dark to lock them back up again. But yes, they get out. But the way chickens stay warm over the winter is that they snuggle and they also fluff up their feathers significantly. They really fluff them up. So they look, well, not twice as big, but significantly larger than they are. And that creates, that's the whole function of the feathers. It creates a like an insulated layer around them of warm air, and then they snuggle together and share the warmth, and they tuck their feet up under their bodies so that their feet stay warm, and they do fine.
Oh, okay.
You know, just like birds, you know, robins and you know, sparrows, they survive outside in the winter, and chickens are birds. And they have a little bit more protection because at least they have an inside place and a roost where they can all fit and snuggle together. But I will tell you something that's very interesting about this is, and I have observed this on many occasions, I have different kinds of chickens, all different kinds. I order them based on both their personality, and yes, chickens do have personalities. I like the friendlier ones, the ones I can pick up. Some are more aggressive or less friendly, especially the roosters. So, and the color of the eggs. So I always order two of each kind. And when they line up on their roosts at night, they always find the ones that they match and and hang out together. The expression birds of a feather flock together. It's not just an expression. It's absolutely true. They seek out their own kind and they sit with them. Since I have, in the last few years, two different times I was given four chickens, four comets, and then this year four that were kind of hybrids, but they were all very blonde looking. And to this day, the four hybrids will roost together and the four blonde ones will roost together. And they always do that. And they snuggle with the ones that they look like. They recognize their own breed and seek them out.
That's very interesting.
It's very interesting. It's very, very interesting. And they do fine. I've never lost a bird over the winter just, you know, due to the cold. You know, once in a while I'll lose one because they're getting old. But, you know, in general, I've never lost one that I can attribute just to them being cold. So they do okay. All right. Is there anything else I can do for you?
That's it. Thank you very much.
All right. You have a great day. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye now. Okay. So can we take Ira? Okay. Hey, Ira. How you doing?
Hello there.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Is it almost winter yet, even though I know it's not getting colder yet?
Oh, come on, Ira. I don't know. It was pretty cold this morning. There was ice on my truck.
Okay, then. I guess it's starting to get colder then.
It's starting to get cold for sure. I wore a winter coat today, so it's definitely, you know, starting to get look like winter. And if you look, did you notice all the colors on the trees? They've been really,
yes, I have.
They've been really beautiful the last week.
It has been, yes.
And that's because the nights are getting colder, okay?
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, you enjoy that, Ira, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye now. Okay. And that's true. Did you notice, Jared, that the colors got really bright?
Really quickly, yeah.
Okay.
Even down by me, it just out of nowhere.
Last week, on Friday morning, we left to drive to Newport, Rhode Island, which one would, you know, you're going up into the northeast there, you in New England, you think the tree, like, everything's going to be magnificent. And it was okay. But on the way back on Monday, it was like somebody threw all the lights on. It was spectacular. So,
oh, that's great. You were going the other way from the leaf peepers.
So, yeah, it was pretty neat. All right, so let me give the phone number, 545-9282, outside the 732 area code. It's 1-888-545-9282. And we will be back after this.
Broadcasting from the Davis Insurance Agency studios. Be a part of the herd with Colin Cowherd. Weekdays from noon to 3 on Fox Sports New Jersey. A piece